Well, thank you all for coming. I really pray that your hearts and your the sacrifice of your time, that the Spirit of God just bless you, and that He is blessed. And I want to just speak from my heart before we jump in tonight that, you know, I'm so blessed to have a father, and he just continues to deal with my heart that, you know, that the things that he blesses us with when he shares his heart, and we all receive of his heart through the word, and he just shares beautiful things with all of us so freely. And we come together in these times, these classes, and we fellowship in the things he's shared. And I just so thank the Lord that he can keep dealing with my heart, that I would will handle them right, share them in his Spirit. I mean, that's so much more important than anything he's sharing, is that my heart be his heart and my spirit be his spirit. And I don't want to give you anything else but him. And you know, I've been corrected by him in certain things in regards to this precious material he's blessed us with. And, you know, out from that correction, I want to say, it's not about math. The math itself, which we will do, is simple. It's not going to be difficult for anybody. And it's not the basis of what this is about. What the Spirit is sharing and will share with us is about his heart. And the way he breaks it down is to glorify the Father through his Spirit in us, and to bring us deeper into their love. And, you know, and I want to have that emphasis to honor them and to minister and to bless and to fellowship with you. So I believe some of you are praying for me, and I sure need it, and I sure appreciate it. More than I can say. Keep it up. Keep up those prayers for me. So, you know, there'll be less of me and so much more just of him. So thank you. I did spend so much time with the Lord for us tonight, and I feel that he has given clarity, not of word or, but of heart, in the steps that we can take together with him tonight. And there will be a few moments or portions where you may want to write down some things you might want to search out later that will come into play as we gather what is now called, I felt the Lord gave the word, heart equations. As we gather the elements to do these heart equations, the pieces that you can search out will make it so much more real and precious, so much more him to you personally. So I just encourage that for the blessing, the feast, the fellowship of it, and what it can mean to you and the Lord personally for you. So having said that, I'm going to continue as the Lord has led on this theme of time, because it really is one of those variables that has so much heart in it and so much of God's heart in it, that as we kind of look at it closer tonight, it will warm you and it will warm him. So I'll just begin saying this. Time, again, we're looking at time. Time is first not a thing of a measurement of, you know, time as a measurement, but of heart. It's a time isn't a linear measurement first and foremost of minutes and that, but a thing of the heart, a thing that measures the heart. The heart will come first, and all else is measured by that. Now, again, I'm just sharing with you what I feel the Lord has shared with me, but please, I'm saying statements, but take them as something for you to just consider and check out with the Lord. Always. So with time, although maybe some of us have understood it as like, oh, that's how I measure this linear journey we're on. And there's minutes and there's hours and there's days and there's years. And yes, in our realm, it's true. But time first is a thing of the heart in God. So God would measure time different than we would. He is in eternity before time and after time, and he is the eternal life. So he quantifies time, you know, different than we do. And to understand that, we go to him, into his heart. So for God, who is eternal, time exists when something that's worth counting appears to his eyes, something that he finds precious, he counts as precious or worthy of being marked. When God's eyes and God's heart behold something that he counts worthy of being marked or precious, that begins to quantify or qualify time to him. Okay. Now, there's another thing that the Spirit of the Lord I felt asked me to share in regards to more clarity on what his heart and his spirit is wanting to bless us with in this class or whatever it is. And that is that I believe maybe more than anything, this class for some will be another witness of 1 Peter. And I know that that may sound odd at this point, but it is very, very, very much so. And for those of you who were really diligently involved with heart and mind in the 1 Peter class, that was a gift from God to us through Pastor Randy. I think in some ways the Spirit may have shared these things in Daniel and Revelation as another witness of 1 Peter. Now, for those of you who weren't in 1 Peter, no worries. It's going to be just as wonderful all in and of itself. So you won't lose a thing. In fact, the Spirit is going to minister to each one of us right where we're at, because he's the only one who can break the bread of life in these things. So, but, you know, in 1 Peter, we shared, when Pastor Randy shared the gold standard, God's gold standard. There was something that God called the gold standard, or I think it was the terminology Randy had used, addressing this fellowshipping with him in his suffering that was spoken of in Peter's first epistle. So we saw a measurement or a qualifying of something in 1 Peter. It may not be time per se there, but it does manifest in time. And it is something that reaches God's heart, and he holds it dear. So, all right, continuing on our time basis. Because we are in time as human beings, we're down here, we're linear beings at this point in the sense of our daily lives down on planet Earth. So to us right now, time always exists in our realm down here on Earth. Whether that time is being frivolously wasted, or we're watching soap operas and taking long naps beyond the point we should, or we are, you know, in the deepest moment of intimacy, or, you know, the height of our life, you know, extremely precious moments, to us as humans, time is all measured the same. It may have taken 1 minute to propose to your wife and 1 minute to eat too many chocolate bars. And they both were given 1 minute. So we measure time all the same. But to God, again, just hold these things before the Lord and search him out in the Word and see if they be so. But to God, certain seasons, months, days, and hours, even moments, stand out and reach his heart. that's when time becomes more than just a linear measurement of our day, but something that is out from eternity and that will be an eternal memorial that lasts forever in his heart. And we do, I'm sure all of you are recalling certain scriptures, maybe some of us thinking of Mary of Bethany, eternal memorials, eternal moments, things that the Word of God testifies as more than just time down here, but time that has ascended to the very heart of God in his eternal realm and remains with him forever. How wonderful. How wonderful. So, in 1 Peter, there was a terminology that Pastor Randy used in regards to the time of trial, the times of the fiery trials, and the times of tribulation. These are terms that we'll find in the book of Revelation. We have tribulation. We find travail. In other portions of Scripture, we find trial. All of those words that are found in the Bible, testifying of this time, some understand to be as the corridor, times when we're in the thick of it, and there is temptation, testing, there is refining fire, there are altars ready to be offered up upon for Jesus to come forth in his sacrificial, poured out love for his enemy's nature. These kind of things happening in those times of trial where we're being tested, times of travail where we're almost like in childbirth with the intense groanings, the intense pressure to bring forth Christ in our attitudes, in our words, in our reactions, in our nature, our actual manifested nature of Jesus through us. The travail, tribulation, these times, some understood as the corridor in 1 Peter, these times of intense, times of intense travail and trial, tribulation, is a time of intense love, intense love, a time of fellowship in his sufferings, and the emphasis being on fellowship in his sufferings. These happen in these times of tribulation, but they can be redeemed as eternal moments. And how precious that is. Redeemed. Time that's been redeemed. So, last class we discussed that time was measured by the slaughtered lamb. And we use the Hebrew calendar as an example of that, and we looked at some scriptures in Exodus, I believe chapter 12, where the Hebrew calendar started on the month of when Passover happened. And just kind of saying, hey, they started with when the lamb was slain and released, when the firstborn was released in sacrifice, Passover. Then the calendar begins. So time, the calendar, being initiated with the Hebrew system by the lamb, the slaughtered lamb. We looked at that last week. But here now, we also see this same principle in the daily offerings. And this again is in the Hebrew culture, which is all infused in the Old Testament as types and shadows that testify of the crucified Jesus, the crucified Christ. And so this is more than just a Hebrew culture, but a God-given culture, if you will, that is meant to show forth the slaughtered lamb. And so that same principle of marking time by the slaughtered lamb, yes, is seen in the Hebrew calendar beginning in the month that has Passover, but also in the daily offerings. So we see God ordained that there would be a lamb offered in the morning and a lamb offered in the evening. And that is a way of marking your day. You know, you can say my day goes from when I get up at 6 a.m. to when I go to bed at 10 p.m. So I've got the morning and the evening and, of course, all the day between. And we may mark it by a time when we wake up and then a time when we go to bed. And that's our linear a way of defining a day. And, you know, but here's God with his people, which we are. And he says, let's mark the day by when we offer the lamb in the morning. And then let's end the day when we mark, when we, at least this is the way it's defined in the scriptures pertaining to the daily offering after the fall. But we don't want to get too technical right now. But he says, let's mark the day by when we slaughter the lamb in the morning and when we offer up the lamb in the evening, and let's call it a day, you know, defining, you know, the 24 time period of a day by, again, the slaughtered lamb and the sun going up, the sun going down, the sun going up as a sweet savor, the sun going down into death, giving himself, and all of that qualifying time. Okay, now, just to take that basic principle of time and the measurements of it in the Hebrew culture that we find in the Old Testament, if you want to just take it down a little bit to another view, you can see that in Passover, we have the lamb being offered for us. He's shedding his blood, and we're eating it, and we're getting, you know, that blood in us, and it's covering us, but he's feeling he's giving us life. But he is going into that offering for us. He's being offered for us and then put into us. That's Passover, the Hebrew calendar starting there. But in the daily offerings, we find that the lamb is now being offered by us. We are the one who is to put that lamb on the altar in the morning and that lamb on the altar in the evening. So now this time is being marked by something more intimately. We're more intimately involved in. He's not just marking time by the lamb for us, but now through us. And that may seem like maybe splitting hairs or something, but in several of our heart equations, this daily offering is going to come to a big forefront. It's going to become a huge variable in several of our heart equations. And it's not a variable like numbers, you know, math in that sense. Although we'll look at a few numbers in regards to it. But this daily offering, you know. Oh, it's a variable because by that daily offering, we are intimately involved with the slaughtered lamb. And that reaches God's heart. That makes time with God. It's the daily, our intimate handling and offering of the lamb personally, daily, that really starts marking time and reaching God, marking time because it reaches God's heart. And so that's a big variable in our upcoming heart equations because it's a big it really, really reaches the Lord's heart, his son through us daily. And we'll see this in Daniel and in Revelation, and we're going to look at extremely specific verses that have exact numbers. The math is not hard, and it's not about the math, but it will be kind of shown there. And I believe not shown to be proven by an equation, but shown to show forth the reality in God's heart, that this really is in his heart, and the word of God testifies of it down to exact numbers. And so so that will be a variable well worth your searching out, testing, checking out, becoming acquainted with, because it's going to come in a lot in our future heart equations. So we see that our intimate involvement with the Lamb increases, and time continues to be marked by that. Okay. All right. So time focuses down as it becomes that which is, all right, I'm just looking at my notes here. So not just the image of a slaughtered lamb. Okay. All right. So we saw in chapter 2 of Daniel that there was a dream given to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he saw this big statue, and it was, you know, it was just a statue, but there was gold in it, and there was fire involved in making metals, and, you know, all these things there, but it was just an image, just an image, you know. And but with time and with the lamb and the slaughtered lamb, we see this so, so beautifully in the book of Revelation as the Spirit opens the pages to us and the Lamb opens the seals, that he's not an image. He's not an idol or a religion or a doctrine or a stagnant truth. You know, he is alive forevermore, and he's giving his life sacrificially evermore through us, and he's rivers of living water, and he's the eternal Spirit upon the throne, pouring out his life always in just his eternal. He's a person. And then we see that it's not just him, but there's the Holy Spirit, like the rainbow surrounding, and the Father in the throne, and the Elohim, God is there, and that love that they are as they pour out for one another and live by the other and always exalts the other, and you know that living God head, that movement eternal begins to measure out time, and the intimate involvement in love in their image. It was the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit in Genesis that said, you know, let us make man after our plural, our image. Let us make man after our image. And that as we let Christ be formed in us, you know, he begins to manifest and to pour out through us and to live love through us. He lives under the Father, and we are carried in his nature, and he marks time through us as he is our life. And there's seasons because of Christ being in us and him being part of this eternal flow of love with his Father by the Spirit and for others, that there's seasons and years and days and hours and even eternal moments that begin to be marked in the realm of mankind and our time as he, this slaughtered lamb, this son of the Father's love, this firstborn, manifests through us. And it's all beauty. You can say, well, there's beasts involved, or the serpents involved, or the devil's involved, the dragon is involved, and it's the enemies of are wearing down the saints and warring against them, and it's all beauty. It's all love. Love is what's manifesting. And love in the form of a slaughtered lamb pouring forth his life through his bride, his wife, is just marking time like crazy. And we'll talk about the end times even in that. But right now we're wanting to, and we'll, after tonight, you can really start searching the scriptures. There's going to be seasons in the Word of God, years in the Word of God, days in the Word of God, hours in the Word of God. And you'll even find eternal moments, whether it says that or not, in the wording, in the Word of God, where this God who is love, this slaughtered lamb and his people, manifests through us. Our bodies, our hands have handled the Word of life. And you'll see the Word of God marking it as God's heart has marked it. So here is a huge open door for your own personal searching, where these markings of time appear in the Word. And I just encourage you to start having fun, because this is a really fun, this whole heart equation journey we're going to be on this semester. It's just so fun to see it in the Word. It's exciting, and it's precious fellowship with the Lord. And it's meant to be seeking that honey out of the rock, and seeking his heart, and to be with him in an intimate way for him. And that's the sweetness of it. And I just, like I said, want to hand this gift over to you in the right spirit, so you can just run with it. You can just have fun with Jesus and bless his heart and know him in a precious way. So those are some areas to search. Okay, so these eternal moments appear when we are in the Word and in our lives, when we are given opportunities to fellowship with our Lord in his sufferings, to be intimately involved with the slaughtered lamb in his deepest and most eternal manifestations down here in time. The earth was made to manifest that lamb that is enthroned in the heavens, but now in our hearts. It is a realm set apart for manifesting that which was before time in material creation. And we talked about Elohim. It's the eternity that's hidden in our daily trials. That's where the daily offering comes into play a lot in the Word. Now, here's another thing that Pastor Randy shared of what Peter was speaking of in his first epistle. When our soul is saved, then that time can be redeemed for the heart of Jesus, where he can glorify his Father through us when we go through those trials, that tribulation, that opportunity when the fiery trial comes, or those situations happen in our daily life, that if our soul is saved, we will be able to bring forth Christ in his lamb nature and glorify the Father through him. And that redeems that time. Again, this is so much of what the First Peter class focused on. In that sense, this could make, it might make First Peter a book of time, make First Peter and time more based on love than a manual on how to go through trials and redeem mistakes and be sure to be, you know, in the right place. Instead, it's a book of love. And that love brings us into that fellowship and causes us to cry out for our soul to be saved for his sake, his needs, and the Father's need. It's love. In the Psalms, and again in First Peter, we were exhorted to check out the Psalms to see this cycle and this thing that First Peter was speaking of in action. So we won't reshare all that. But in the Psalms, it was David's love for the Lord that caused him to cry out for his soul to be saved, so that in the time of trial, he would be with the Lord instead of his soul and his selfish, all the stuff that rises. He wanted to redeem the time and situation for eternity, for God, for the heart of God. And he knew that his soul was going to try to rob that opportunity. David did not want his own soul, and this is a huge, huge part of, again, these heart equations, David did not want his own soul to rob God's daily altars. David did not want his soul to rob Jesus of the intimacy of having his wife with him in his suffering, and the Father receive that intimacy of his Son through us. David did not want his soul to rob the daily offerings, and in so doing, rob Jesus getting that fellowship with us, and the Father getting his Son through us. And we looked at that so deeply in 1 Peter and in the Psalms. And here we see with these daily offerings that happen when those situations come where we can be with the Lord in the ways that are very precious to his heart, fellowshipping with him in his suffering, the gold standard of what reaches his heart when time is redeemed. We can be with him in that way when we don't let our soul rob the altar. We all know the feeling. I know the feeling. I know. I'll never forget the first moment the Lord shared any of this angle of his heart with these areas that we're speaking of now, was when I was on the floor right there. I'm pointing to the spot. And something was just tearing at my soul. And it was one of those temptations to have a wrong attitude towards someone because I felt they were manipulating, and I wanted to use, instead of laying my life down, I wanted to just demand what I felt was right and make it, all that beast stuff, you know, all that soulish self power control, all that beast that is my soul without Jesus saving it by his nature, you know, was trying to get me and was trying to push me to get up and make a decision and make a phone call and say something and put something in motion. And I was struggling in my heart of hearts. The Spirit was dealing with me. And finally, I could feel Jesus winning, you know, save my soul. It's wanting to I didn't know what. And so the Lord came forth, all glory to God. And after that little struggle, when I got up and I was clean, I said, nope, not opening my mouth. I'm going to have it right. Your Spirit. And I felt his cleanness in my heart, washing away that. And he looked at me, I felt, if he could look at me in the eyes, it's like the Spirit said, the Lord in you didn't let the morning offering be robbed, because it was trying, that your old soul was trying to rob the morning sacrifice. It was in the morning that this happened. He said, your soul was trying to rob the altar of the morning sacrifice, and God was just about to not get his Son through you in that little situation in your heart, because your soul was not saved in the beginning. But at the end, it was. All glory to God. And I did not open my mouth. I didn't just suffocate and pretend, but wrestled, cried out, like the Psalms are full of, and said, Lord, let's not let my soul allow the morning offering to be robbed and you not get your Son today through me. And that's when all this opened, this that I remember just getting in the Word after that and him beginning to share, not from seeing something in the Scriptures, but from wrestling through something and realizing, hey, this is important, you know. And the situation I was dealing with was a ministry thing, and it had all the Jesus things that are right and wrong, quote unquote, off the wrong tree. But you know how that old knowledge of good and evil can get on the inside, and it just, I could, you know, and the Lord's like, hey, the real ministry, Kelly, is that you be a priest and offer up my Son in your attitudes and in your approach. And it doesn't matter what happens out there in the quote unquote ministry event. What matters is what's happening in you as a priest, as a my wife, a member of the wife of the Lamb, as my body that's supposed to have my spirit as part of me, the Lord said. That's the ministry. And boy, it affected me to this moment, and it needs to affect me so much more. That's why I'm just sitting, crying out, believing the Lord to work this in our hearts and in my heart. So we see that happening in David. And we're going to look more at that when we look at an area that has to do with the daily offerings and cleansing the temple. But that's several classes down. So I'm just putting a little seed there for right now. So our soul is the enemy because it wants to rob the altar during the time of trials and tribulation. So when these moments come that can be redeemed, time that can be redeemed, these questions can come up. Will my soul be saved by the Lamb in me so that that intimacy and fellowship with our Lord can manifest this morning, this evening, today, this situation? Or will my soul not be saved and become something which manifests in this situation in time, another spirit, something that's not the Son? Is it going to be my life or His life? And we can see in the Gospels that to Jesus, this question was really a question of love, not of obedience or religion or willpower, but something of love. And I think if we look at the scripture in John chapter 12 and verse 25, it's Jesus Himself speaking about this and sharing His opinion. And I'll just read the verse. It's John chapter 12, verse 25. And Jesus says, "He that loves his soul life will lose it. But he that hates his soul life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." This sentence was spoken right after Jesus said in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." So He's speaking of a seed falling in the ground and dying. And then He's speaking about this love of the soul, or this preventing an opportunity of being with the Lamb in His sufferings and becoming a dying seed with Him. You know, He's saying, you know, verily, one of the big scriptures we all love so dearly, corn of wheat falling in the ground and dying. He's saying this, and then He immediately goes into, but if you love your soul life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it, you'll have eternal life. And so it looks like the soul is a pretty big deal when those eternal moments come of being a dying seed with Jesus, by Jesus. And I think that's proven because if we go back just one more verse to John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Notice the word hour. Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. He who loves his soul will lose it." So see how these kind of all come together in that hour, that eternal moment when it begins to be time as an offering that reaches God's heart. So Jesus is in the hour right here. Time is being measured in the Word of God in John chapter 12 because Jesus is going to the cross very soon. And God's beginning to mark that time by the manifestation of the slaughtered lamb through a man, through Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. We are on the hour in John chapter 12. Now, for many of us, and this will be dated for those who might listen later or watch it later, but for those of us right now, we just had a Passover, beautiful Easter service where our Pastor Randy shared with us concerning 2 days was kind of a theme of that sharing with us. And one thing that was mentioned in that Easter sermon was this question that was quoted, that I think possibly the minister was pondering, which was Mary there when Jesus said, in 2 days the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified? Did Mary of Bethany hear Jesus say that to his disciples, that in 2 days the Son of Man, 2 days, the Son of Man would be handed over and crucified? Maybe she did. And let's just say she did. We don't know that for sure, but let's just, for this point, and you can check it out, pray over it. Say Mary of Bethany did hear Jesus say that. And let's just consider that the disciples also heard it, but that Mary of Bethany's heart woke up and went, uh-oh, eternal moments are right here, right now. This is the time where I can bring forth something precious to the heart of Jesus, to the heart of the Father. I want to wake up, tune in to the heart of the Lord, and be with him right now. 2 days, 2 days. Eternal ministry began to just well up in her heart. Days earlier, if you kind of search that out in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, going into chapter 12, also in Matthew, you can see some portions of it with Mary of Bethany. Just a couple days earlier, she was all entangled up in her brother Lazarus dying, Jesus not being there because he could have healed him and he wouldn't have had to die. And her heart was just all wrapped up with compassionate ministry and things in the earth and neat flesh and the needs of humanity and flesh and all these things. But something in her, just days later, tuned into the time of God and what was happening that was so eternally precious to him, that Jesus, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, was about to fulfill all time on Calvary. Fulfill all time. And the hours were ticking. The days were upon her. And she just started plugging into, the eternal flow. Oh, now I can fellowship with you in your suffering. Now I can be with you before the day's gone. I want to gather all that ointment I would have used on my brother Lazarus or Simon the leper's flesh or the poor. And I want to pour it into this eternal moment and fellowship with you in your suffering and prepare you for your burial. It's 2 days. I'm with you. I'm with you right now, right now. And she didn't miss the time to be with him in his preparation, in his suffering, in his death. It was an eternal memorial Jesus spoke. An eternal. She didn't miss the time. And portions of that Easter sermon brought to light that, yes, the other Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Marys that came to the tomb to anoint him for burial, missed the time. They missed the time. Did they miss being filled with the Holy Spirit and partaking of Jesus as their life? No. But they missed the opportunity to fellowship and be with him in something that was so precious to him. Mary of Bethany didn't. Her heart awakened. It was a beautiful fellowship. It meant so much to the Lord. She redeemed that for the heart of Jesus. But at the same time period, we see Peter missing the time and missing it on a grand level, denying the Lord 3 times in those hours. Now it's not days. With Mary Bethany, it was 2 days. Now with Peter, it's the very hours. We're on the hours when he's being crucified. We're in the hours now. And Peter denies him 3 times. And so much of the heart of our blessed First Peter class that was preached to or shared with us through Pastor Randy spoke of Peter's heart and his purpose after missing that time so deeply, missing the Lord's heart to be with him in fellowship with him in his sufferings, in those hours before he was crucified, that he did not want to miss that time again, those eternal moments to fellowship with the Lord in his sufferings. And he also gave himself to help the brethren, all of us, even now, to not miss the time, but to be able to identify the corridor or the opportunities when those eternal moments are upon us and we can be with the Lord and redeem that for his heart's sake. All of this is in these heart equations. It really is. And I like, again, I felt like this, the Lord just has been dealing with me so deeply, saying, you know, quit emphasizing math. Emphasize my heart. This is what I want to emphasize. And emphasize, you know, the things of 1 Peter, of fellowshipping with me in my sufferings, and how these equations will simply add up the things that are in God's heart and be a really precious testimony to the fact that they truly are so very real in the Lord's heart, and the Word of God testifies of that. So finally, I want to mention that if we are not awake, the disciples weren't awake when Jesus said 2 days. They didn't hear it. They didn't tune in like Mary Bethany, and they missed that. Peter really missed it in the very hours when he was suffering before he was crucified. If a person is not awake, they can miss the time of their visitation. Jesus said that in Matthew. You've missed the time of your visitation when I would have gathered you close to my heart and shared so deeply. So we see from Jesus' own words that it's possible to miss the time of his and our visitation. Is that to bring us into fear? Peter missed the time of his visitation a couple times, but then he spent the rest of his life, because of those failures that worked something wonderful in his heart, all those failures were so redeemed, beautifully, wonderfully so, that he, the rest of his life, the guy probably hardly ever missed an opportunity. You know? Thank God for those colossal failures, because they just woke him up to have such a sensitivity to every opportunity he could be with the Lord in that way. Those failures were redeemed. We don't need shame or condemnation or regret. I say, let's say thank you for the failures. Lord, use them. They're the best clay you could possibly use. Broken clay, emptied clay, clay that doesn't have any strength in itself. Wow, you can really bring me into the land through this type of clay that you've brought, conditioned me to be right now. So, I mean, I just think that's so important. So important. Because Satan comes to sift our faith at those times. We don't need to be sifted. We need to be, prepared. That broken, tread upon grain is, you know, ready for the offering. Ready for the offering. It's a beautiful thing. So, okay, here we're getting so close. The first use of the word awake in the Bible, along these lines, we're getting real close to ending here, is in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. And it's this verse, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He woke up and realized, oh my gosh, here it is. Eternity's right here. Jesus, the Lord is in this place. How many eternal moments did Jacob sleep through because he wasn't awake to the reality that God was there? And maybe only just all the troubles and all the trials and all the failures. And, well, the Lord woke him up. The Lord woke him up. And he was awakened to the time that he was in, to the reality of what was going on in God, and that God was there. And, Jacob's story has a beautiful, beautiful ending. Let me just see if I want to speak of this final thing. I think we're going to leave that point. It's only one point that we didn't hit on, which is, I think, amazing that we got this far. But I want to encourage all of you to, as your heart and your relationship with Jesus in a living way feels inclined to search some of these things out, to go through the Word and see these eternal moments and see where you can find time being marked in a certain, it's a year here, it's an hour here, it's days here. Why is it a year, a season, a day, an hour? What's the reason? That's going to be a really big part of time, times, and the dividing of time. So if you want to search some of those out and then pray over them, seek the Lord's heart over them, and then as you do, when we start really talking about time, times, and the dividing of time, you're going to be so blessed. It's going to just be a party on the inside of your heart. It is. You'll be like the prodigal and the father dancing. It's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's heart. It's not hard math. It's not scary. It's not about beasts and trigonometry. It's about love and the Lamb. That's what we're about. So come with that kind of heart, and God's just going to minister so deeply. So Lord, we thank you for this precious opportunity to love you, to be with you, to have your heart shared with each one by the Spirit of God. So we just open to you. We thank you for our failures. We thank you for everything that can be used to bring us more deeply into the things of your heart that you long for with each one of us personally. So have your way, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I really sensed y'all preciously in the Spirit. I really do, and I'm so thankful.